able to worship God. As we start our lesson this morning, what we're going to focus on for both lessons today is social media and the Christian. You know, how we should act on social media, the dangers of social media, and things of that nature. You know, as I started researching and studying this topic, you know, what's interesting is that it's all very new. You know, to most of us, it seems like it's been around for a while, but the whole age of the internet and then smartphones and then social media coming onto the scene, it's something that is very new. This technology, these platforms are recent. And what is available on the internet, the amount of information and things you can find out there, it's incredible to think about the capability that you find there. All the information that you could want, think of, and even not want to think of is held. You know, today we all hold it within the palm of our hand on our phone. You can find out anything you want to know about anything just by searching on your phone. And yet, like I said, this is still very new. You know, the first smartphone didn't come out until the mid to 2000s. And social media started around, some of the main social media companies started around 2004, 2005. So when we talk about this being very new, we have to recognize as Christians, we need to be aware of any potential dangers that are involved in this new age and in these new technologies and these new platforms. And we must be prepared and know how to fight against these dangers, fight against these things that may war against our soul. You know, one such area online that we've talked about is social media. You know, for many of you here, you can probably remember a time without it. Even myself, as I researched it and studied it, what I kept coming over and over again was people my age saying that people around my age would be the last generation that was raised without social media being a big part of their lives as they went through elementary and junior high and high school. We didn't have it then. And I thought about that. I am the last generation to sort of know what it was like to grow up without some of these things. And now, as parents, you're going to be raising your children now, and they're not going to know a life without social media, without the internet, without all of these different technologies. Like I said, the first social media site started around 2004. And in 2005, it said the U.S. market share was 5%. 5% of people were on some form of a social media site in 2005. And now the most recent study that I have found says 70% of the entire population of the United States is on some form of a social media site. And the numbers get larger as the ages, you know, get smaller. Around 18 through 29 is the biggest number. 84% of people between the ages of 18 and 29 are on a social media platform. And, you know, when we talk about what social media is and all the different sites, you know, it's, you think Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, etc. There's app after app, there's platform after platform of all these different social media platforms. And when we recognize that this is a relatively new medium, then we also have to recognize as Christians, we need to be aware, like I said, of the potential dangers. You have to recognize that the devil, that Satan, he's going to try to use anything that he can, any tool that he can to try to reach us, to try to ensnare us, to try to entrap us, and to try to enslave us to sin. So as these technologies, you know, they're not going away, and as they continue to develop more and they continue to innovate more, we have to, as Christians, be out on the forefront and looking out for any dangers that are there within these platforms and be teaching out and speaking out against them. And as parents, you have to be ready and you have to be prepared as you're raising your children in this time period. How are you going to raise them? How are you going to let them use social media if you let them use it, or to not let them use it? These are all choices as parents you're going to have to be making in the next few years as your children get older? If you let them use it, what type of guidelines are you going to have? You know, these are all things that you need to be preparing for and thinking about as your children grow up. Like I said, these things have become ubiquitous. They're not going away, so we have to be ready for how to handle it. And when I studied this, I found that a lot of the world now is coming around to the idea that some of these things and how they are designed are inherently dangerous towards people, and that we haven't studied it enough, we haven't looked at it enough to realize the impacts that it is having on our minds and how we act, and especially with young children. We've seen many studies correlating dangers to how young people view themselves, how young people's minds work when they're on social media. We have to recognize, first of all, that these sites weren't designed for children in the first place. And so really, we're running a grand experiment on young children when we let them get on these social media platforms, so what it's doing to their mind, their self-esteem, and how they act. So we're going to look at some quotes from and studies from those on the outside, from those who worked within these social media companies, who the engineers there who see the danger in them themselves when they work there, and they speak out against it. And then we're going to make applications to our own lives, scriptural applications, and look at dangers to our spiritual well-being that we face on these platforms. Now, when you talk about social media and the dangers, like I said, there's many studies now that are being that have been done and are being done about the effect that social media has on specifically young people, young girls and young boys. And what you see is that in a lot of these studies, it shows to have a damaging effect on many of their lives. And, you know, just talking about the numbers, it says by 2014, this is a quote from an article by Jonathan Haidt, a social psychologist. He says 80% of high school students said they use social media platform on a daily basis. And 24% said that they were online almost constantly. Notably, girls became much heavier users of the new visually oriented platforms, primarily Instagram, which by in 2013 had more than 100 million users. And he went on in his research, and he's finding research that shows in the last 10 years or so, there has been an increase, especially with young women, with young girls, and an increase in depression-like symptoms and in suicide and self-harm. And he finds a link between those things and these social media sites like Instagram. He writes, but researchers have found corresponding increases in measurable behaviors as suicide and emergency department admissions for self-harm. From 2010 to 2014, rates of hospital admission for self-harm did not increase at all for women in their early 20s or for boys or young men, but they doubled for girls ages 10 to 14. And why is that? I mean, he alludes to the problems that these young women have when they spend time on Instagram and they're being judged by their appearance and how many likes they get and the comments that are made there. He even says Facebook's own research points out the dangers here. It says Facebook's own research leaked by a whistleblower, Francis Hogan, has a similar finding. Teens blame Instagram for increases in the rate of anxiety and depression. This reaction was unprompted and consistent across all groups. And he goes on, he says, girls who use social media heavily are about two or three times more likely to say that they are depressed than girls who use it lightly or not at all. We could go on and on. It says, last year, researchers at Instagram itself, they published disturbing findings from an internal study on the app's effect on young women. 32% of teen girls said that when they felt bad about their bodies, Instagram's made them feel worse. They often feel addicted and know what they're seeing is bad for their mental health, but feel unable to stop themselves. And we could go on and on. There's a multitude of studies and quotes and psychologists who talk about this effect that it has on particularly young women and Instagram and sites that are based on that visual type of medium and the effect that it has on their lives. So these are things that we have to be aware of. These are things that we have to be thinking about. And, you know, when it talks about, when we talk about our image, you know, so much of the world now is, they define based on our physical appearance, and that's what these sites do. You know, like I said, you, how many likes do you get on a photo that you post of yourself? Who says good comments about photos that you post of yourself? And you base your image, you start to base your self-worth on those things. But we see that is completely contrary to Scriptures. That is completely contrary to how God wants you to view yourself. In Proverbs 31, when it talks about the virtuous woman, her worth is defined where? Proverbs 31 and verse 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You have to be teaching your children, your young girls, that what your worth comes from your service to God. That is where you find your true worth. That is where you, what makes you worthwhile is in your service to God and in your service to others. In a world where we're judged by the amount of likes and the amount of comments that you receive, we have to recognize it's God who is concerned about our soul. And he says it is our soul that has all the worth, because it's our soul that will live on in eternity. Matthew chapter 16, and in verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. So let's make sure we're protecting our soul. We're doing everything to take care of our soul, that we find that our worth is found in our service and dedication to God, our service to Christ and the words of Scripture. We recognize that the Christ, the Son of God, he died for our soul. He died for our spirit. That's how much worth it has, that the Son of God was willing to come down from heaven and to die for your soul, to save your soul, to save your spirit. And you need to recognize these things and recognize the danger as a parent and instill these values in your young kids. Recognize that these platforms, especially like Instagram, as we read, there's dangers there. They focus so much on the outward. They focus on the outward appearance of things. In fact, you know, you think about it, there's many women now who are millionaires because they monetize their appearance on things like Instagram and TikTok. They make money because of their physical appearance in the videos that they shoot and they distribute to everyone. There's so much emphasis there. You have to, as a parent, instill in your children and focus on what is important, and that is their soul. And be weary of the danger of putting them on these platforms. Be weary of the danger that lies there when it comes to how they're going to view themselves and view their self-image. And along these lines, another danger that I believe is goes along with these platforms and is somewhat inherent with these platforms is this idea of selfishness, right? That these platforms are, in a way, used to play on our own pride and play on our narcissism. Everything about these platforms can make one more selfish. It's always about, what are you doing today? Where have you been? Are you posting photos about you and yourself and where you've been and what you've been doing? You know, this need to always be taking photos of yourself and wherever you've gone, it plays to your vanity. It plays to your pride. And our lives in Christ should be the exact opposite. We recognize that. We're to be humble servants of God and humble servants of others. We're to follow the example of Christ, as Paul writes about in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 1. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Yes, our lives should be clothed in humility. And you know, as I've gone throughout all these sermons, as I've been preaching every week, I find that a point of humility, and almost all you can add that point in almost any sermon you do, right? It is a foundational point in the life of a Christian. We must be humble. We see verse after verse telling that the humble, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will raise you up. It's the humble who will be exalted. It's the prideful who will be brought down low. And we have to learn humility as a Christian. It's a starting point. We have to be humble in our lives. And yet too many times these sites, these social media platforms, they fight against that. They play on your vanity. They play on your narcissism. They play on your pride. They try to make it all about you. You know, we talked about this idea of taking pictures of yourself. And you know, the idea of the selfie is something that is somewhat new, isn't it? And you know, the idea of a selfie is just strange in and of itself. The word, you know, you almost have the word selfish within the word itself. I heard one preacher describe it, talking about a selfie. He described it, you know, when he thought of the Greek myth of Narcissus, right? And what the Greek myth Narcissus, what do we know about that? It was a man who became enamored with himself and he died looking at his own reflection in the water. And that's where we get that word narcissism from, becoming obsessed with yourself. And we have to fight against that. We have to fight against this idea that everybody has to know everything that I'm doing. They have to know everywhere I've been. They have to see every picture that I take. And we have to post these things. We have to fight against selfishness, and we have to try and be more humble. Yes, the life of a Christian is not about ourselves. It's about serving God, and it's about serving others. And there's another thing that plays on our selfishness and plays on our vanity. When sometimes that it can appear like we're trying to do good works, but you have to ask yourself the question, why are we doing certain things? You know, talking about this idea of hashtag type of activism. You want to be seen to be that you're doing something good, right? You want it to be seen that you care about all these different causes that the world cares about. You see it with all these companies as they celebrate all these sinful causes, whether it be LGBTQ month and things like that. They always have an hashtag. They always change their avatar to show support for these things. And it's all performative. It's all for show. And we have to be careful, not that we're going to support those worldly causes, but in the things that we do. When we are serving others, are we posting things about that just, you know, to make ourselves feel good so that other people can see that we are doing these good things, that we're doing these good deeds? You know, it's a battle there. You have to ask yourself the question, why? Why are we doing, you know, why are we doing good? Is it to be seen by others so we can post it on social media so others can see how good we are and the good works we are doing? You know, God talks about that, doesn't he? Oh, they're at the scriptures. Don't do your good works to be seen by men. Don't do your good works to be seen by others. In James chapter 2, this gets into this idea of just, you know, posting that you're going to do good things and saying on there that you're going to take care of others, but then not doing anything about it. James 2, beginning in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? For thus, for also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. Yes, we need to be out there helping others. We need to be actively helping others and not just posting about things like that on various social media platforms. And in the book of Luke, you know, Christ condemned the Pharisees for this type of showy religion. In Luke 18 and verse 9, and he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5 says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. These are things we have to think about as a Christian, and it even can get into our religious service. You know, it's good to post scriptures and post, helpful truths, but again, you have to ask yourself, why are you doing that? If you're doing it for the right reason, it's good. But if you're doing it to be seen by men, to give the appearance that you are righteous, to be like the Pharisees, you have to realize how hypocritical that is and how dangerous that is. And we have to fight against that. And we have to fight against that selfishness. We have to fight against these platforms playing on our vanity. And we have to learn to be humble. We have to learn to have humility in all things that we do. Yes, let's not let it be a tool to play in our vanity and pride. And that's something to think about as a parent again. I want to keep harking back on that because there's many parents here with young children who are coming up to age where they would be thinking about getting a social media platform. That's something you have to think about. As a parent, you're trying to fight that selfishness and that pride out of your children, aren't you? They're raised up, you know, everything's handed to them, everything's taken care for them at a young age. And so you have to fight that selfishness that is in them and remove it from them. And you have to be thinking about those things as they're thinking about getting a social media platform, how that's going to fight a battle within them. That selfishness is going to war on these platforms against their spirit. And these are things you have to be thinking about as a parent when you consider social media and your children. The last point this morning, and this first lesson that we're going to talk about, is social media's attack on our attention. That social media is a thing that can take our time away from serving God or from serving others or doing anything. It can be an incredible time waster. And you know, we've talked about the stats, I believe, in a previous lesson not too long ago, but the stats on the usage, the amount of time that people spend on these platforms. The average time spent a day is 145 minutes. That's almost 2.5 hours, isn't it? 2.5 hours is the amount of time spent on these various social media, whether it be Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, you know, TikTok. You know, so 2.5 hours a day. And what we just found out this year when they released the most visited website in 2021 was TikTok. It surpassed even Google, which is somehow unfathomable to even think about. The social media site of TikTok passed even Google in the amount of visits to a website in the past year. So we have to recognize that these things are fighting against our attention. And these things, as we're going to talk about in a second, they were specifically designed to capture your attention, to keep you engaged in their platforms. And we have to be fighting against that. You know, I watched a movie recently called The Social Dilemma. And that was with various of these executives or engineers from Facebook and Google and Pinterest and all these things who are going on record talking about how it was designed and how it can become a danger to us and to our children. You know, one of the reasons I think so many people can use these platforms is because it's free, right? This is one of the things that they talk about. These platforms are free. But they said, one of the quotes they said, if you're not paying for the product, then you are the product, right? We're not paying any money, but what are we paying in? They said we're paying for it with our time and our attention and our data and information. That's what we're paying for these sites with, is our time and our attention. They're trying to capture that, they said. When one of the men who worked on Facebook trying to get monetization of the platform, he was thinking about how are we going to make money, and obviously the obvious answer to them was advertisers. Well, how are you going to keep these advertisers happy? How are you going to keep them happy? They have to have eyeballs on the screen, right? They have to have people engaging. They have to have people spending your time there. And so they try to curate a feed and curate a cycle to your likes and to your interests to keep your eyes on the screen, to keep you looking at these platforms so that these advertisers will stay on and that they will make money from their advertisements. Yes, all these companies are vying for your attention, trying to figure out the best way to keep you engaged and spending the much time as possible on these platforms. They need your data, they need your information, they need your eyeballs so that these advertisements are as successful as possible. So we have to recognize that. That is part of the design, that it's trying to vie for your attention and trying to take your attention away from other things. And we see that there have been studies recently done talking about the shortening attention span of people. And they attribute that not only to social media, but just the digital age in general, about how much information there is out there in the world. And I think that's a danger to us as Christians when our attention gets divided more and more and more away from God and serving others. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, you know, Paul, talking to the young evangelist Timothy, he just says, what does he tell him to give attention to? Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And when we think about our lives, when we think about our attention spans now, you know, can you keep your attention glued to studying the Scriptures for more than a short period of time? Can you keep your attention to the services, to the words that are being taught when somebody delivers a lesson? Or is it a fight with you? Does your attention get easily distracted? You know, we think about the days of Nehemiah and Ezra. Nehemiah chapter 8, it said he wrote from the book of the law from the morning to the evening, right? The morning to the midday. He read from the book of the law and the people stood there and listened. And now too many times we complain if the sermon goes too long. And if we complain if the service goes too long and things of that nature, because our attention span is being taken away from us and we can't focus and meditate on those things that God would have us to focus and meditate on. You know, like I said, these engineers, these designers, they are trying to get your attention. They've designed it in that such a way. A Google designer, he described it as your phones is like a slot machine, right? Why are slot machines so addictive to people who gamble? You know, because you never know what's going to come up, right? Something new is going to come up every time. And that's sort of the same thing with your phone, right? You don't know, you turn on a platform, you turn on whatever, wherever you go. Something new is going to come up. You don't know what's going to happen. And so you open up your phone and you look for that next bit of information, that next bit of news, that next bit of seeing what everybody around you is doing. And it takes your attention away, it distracts you, it engages you, and it divides your attention. And they described how, you know, the information that you see, the feed that is given to you, is they design it in a way where they know based on your likes, based on your comments, based on your interests, they're going to give you a feed of information they think you are interested in to keep you infinitely scrolling on that loop of what's next, what's new, this is interesting, this is interesting. You know, I've been there. You're on your phone, you're going through whatever it may be, and you realize you spent 30 minutes, 40 minutes looking at different comments, looking at different videos, and you have to recognize they're designed in that way to engage you and to encapture your attention. One man, a former Facebook executive and the former president of Pinterest, he was also in this film, and he described himself really as being addicted. He said he'd work at Pinterest all day, and he'd come home, and he'd be on his phone then for a couple hours even after that on his own site on Pinterest. And he recognized, he said, I have two kids at home and I'm wasting all this time on these social media sites. I'm wasting all this time scrolling through this infinite feed of news. And he realized how much time he was wasting. And he described he had to go through some extreme measures to try to get rid of this addiction, as he described it, that he had to these social media sites that were taking his time away from things more important. And what's interesting, he was one who said of many in this documentary, he was one of many who said they would not let their kids have social media. They would not let their kids be on social media because of the dangers they knew that were there. Others would say they wouldn't allow it until they were 16 or 18. But what's interesting, all these people in the world recognize it, and that's coming from a worldly perspective. This morning, we've looked at things also from a spiritual perspective and dangers there. So we have to recognize these things. As we conclude this lesson this morning, we have to recognize these things, that there are dangers here with social media, that this is also a new platform, and it's something that's just come in the last 15 years. And so we as Christians have to be thinking about these things, examining these things, that you and parents have to be ready to how you're going to handle it with your kids as they grow up and as they get older. These are dangers, and these are things that we must be thinking about, we must be praying about, and we must be studying about, to not let these things become a source of problems for our image of who we think of ourselves, to not let it become a source of increasing our selfishness and our vanity, and to not let it become a distraction, to take our attention away from the things that really matter here on this earth, the spiritual things that God has provided us with. So at the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to look at another aspect of a danger that I find on social media, and that is the idea of social media and our speech. But at this time, I thank you for your kind attention, and we will be dismissed to our classes.